stay present in your child's life.
Yeah.
Time is something that can never be priced, or it can never be looked at as something that can be substituted for anything else, any type of toys or money.
Welcome to The Art of Fatherhood, a podcast that takes you on the journey of fatherhood. Now here's your host, Art Eddy.
What's going on, everybody? Art Eddy here for the Art of Fatherhood podcast online. I'm very happy to have Jonathan McDaniel. Thanks for taking the time to chat with me, Jonathan. How you doing, sir?
Oh, I'm great, man. How you doing?
Thanks for having me. Yeah, for sure, man. Excited to chat a little bit about Raven's Home, music, and fatherhood. But let's talk a little bit about your role as Devin Carter on Raven's Home. There's a couple new episodes that are going to be coming out. A few of them that are directed by Raven herself that are going to have you featured in them. Can you kind of, and you don't give too much, of course, but can you talk a little bit about what fans can expect from the show, sir?
Yeah, one of the episodes is actually a holiday episode, so they got some Christmas, Kwanzaa traditions that are going on in there.
Nice.
It's a pretty cool, fun episode. Kids and Levi and Raven and Chelsea. That I think a lot of people are going to enjoy. And then it also has, like, you know, that feel-good type of joyful, cheerful type of vibe. You know what I mean? I think people are going to be in at the time when they watch the episode. So it was fun, man, to really be able to film that episode. You know, I've worked with her for years, and to really get to the point where I could see her and be directed by her and see her direct an episode, it was quite awesome, you know, just because I have so much history with her. And you know, to see that happen, I know it's a proud moment for her. She's worked so hard to be able to accomplish that goal. And you know, like I told her, I said, you've been doing it so long, and I think it just comes natural to you. I encourage her to do as many as episodes of, you know, Raven's Home as she could, and continue on to do some directing for feature films as well, just because she's really good at it. So it was awesome to be able to experience that, be directed by Raven, but then at the same time, still act alongside of her and portray our storyline.
Nice, man. Yeah, really looking forward to those episodes. My kids and I and my wife definitely enjoy what you guys have on the show and the themes and the different messages and all that. For you, you know, you're a dad, of course, in real life. We're going to get to that in a second. But how similar is Devin's parenting style to yours in real life?
It's not that different, but there is, you know, obviously there's Disney, and then there's also a little bit of real life. You know, you kind of take from where, you know, a little bit of what you were raised in, and I give a lot of props to my parents. They really did a great number in raising me, gave us a lot of morals and values, and taught us respect, and you know, just really good things in life that I think that I've carried on through my life, and now I'm able to pass on to my children. And I kind of find myself dedicated to those things, you know, now that I do have children, being able to really sit there and, you know, take those moments to teach them respect and morals and, you know, what it is to be able to really succeed in life, but not monetarily or possessions, but same type of characteristics. He was, you know, a really good kid. You know, ran into Raven, was, you know, respectful, had to move away with his father, so you could tell he wasn't like a rebellious kid or something like that, you know. And so I think Devon Carter has grown up to want to teach his kids the same things, you know, and I think Raven as well. She was raised up with great parents on the show, and it just shows that she's became successful. And, you know, I think them working together, there's a great balance, you know, with Raven being so on the comedy side and me kind of bringing that balance of the reality side to it, you know, just kind of like it meshes well, you know what I mean? Because there's so much that happens when I come into town and visit that, you know, that goes on with me and Raven, and so much physical comedy that I think that it really makes for a good time, and it really makes for a good watch, you know, when you watch the show, because you see how the kids, you know, kind of, they don't necessarily change, but they do have a respect for their father. And when they come, you know, when he comes into town, they really are excited to see him and excited to hang out with him. And it's not, you know, there's nothing there that kind of reminds the kids that him and Raven are divorced and, you know, they're kind of separated. But at the same time, when he comes into town, it's like they're like a family all over again. And it's just all great vibes. Him and Raven are great. You know, the kids kids are great. Like, everything is just so nice, and it's just a testament to their characters and, you know, who they are as people. So I kind of take a little bit of my own real life, you know, a little bit of my own parenting skills, I should say, you know, the way I raise my kids, and I kind of bring it into the show a little bit, just because I do believe in good values, and I do believe in, you know, raising your children right and teaching them those things that I think they're going to carry on and that are really going to be valuable for them.
Really appreciate that, Jonathan. And for me, especially being in this dad writing industry where, you know, you see the representation of fathers and all that, for you playing Devon on Raven's Home, do you, I wouldn't say pressure, but do you kind of feel that people in society will kind of look, I'm not saying that they're going to take all of, like, oh, this is what a dad is based on a Disney show or the sitcom, whatever the case may be, but do you feel that you need to kind of represent dads? Because there's a shift now, well, there's a lot of shifts in different things and way people are looking at other people, hopefully more for the better than putting, you know, different stereotypes on that certain person. Like, you know, the dad that's like kind of in the background and like maybe doesn't know what's going on and always, you know, it says like, all right, honey, what do you think we should do? But like, I see more stronger fathers in there. And a lot of the guys that I work in this community with for fatherhood, we appreciate that. Do you kind of see that like, all right, I got to make sure that I'm representing dads well in your role on the show?
Oh, of course, man. I definitely feel, I mean, I feel that responsibility in real life, you know? So being a father, I think society, you know, puts the idea of fatherhood, it puts it on a back burner. Like, we really don't have those, or we don't try to apply those parenting skills as much as a mother does, but we really do, and we have so much to offer in that department. And I really spend so much time with my children, as much time as I possibly can, just to do different activities with them, to, you know, just to be in their lives constantly, to help instill things in them. And so, like, you know, transitioning that into the character for the show, I definitely feel that same responsibility, especially since, unfortunately, him and Raven aren't together. Mm. There's kind of that stigma and that idea in society where, you know, when parents are separated, that there's got to be one of them. There's got to be something wrong with one of them. And that's not always the case, right? And
yeah.
So it's like, you know, obviously there's nothing wrong with Raven. She's a great parent. She's a, you know, a great citizen, and she has a job and she's taking care of her kids, right? So she's being responsible. And I think the same thing is with the dad, is like, you know, I want to represent that same idea where it's like, hey man, just because things don't work for us to stay together in a relationship doesn't mean that our relationship stops as a parent. Mm. And we should still enter parenting. And it takes really mature, great adults to be able to get to that place where they can put their differences aside and say, hey, for the better of the children, we have to represent a family unit, no matter if we do not live underneath the household or not. And that's what I truly believe in. I truly believe that no matter what, you know, you have kids, you know, you guys are together or not, you know, that's a family unit. And for the better of the child, it's always great and the right thing, I think, to be mature and to represent both sides right. I think it's great for the child to see how great their mother is and how, you know, how responsible and how providing she is and nurturing. And I feel the same way with the father. They should feel the same way, how protective and responsible and providing and there for his family. He is still present in their lives just as much, regardless of, you know, who the children live with or whether they're together or not. And I think that's very important in raising children and just raising them up the correct way and the right way to think about their situation that they're in. I know from growing up, I was in a broken home, you know, and it really pushed me, now that I have children, to be a father who's married and has a wife and, you know, tries to create that foundation and that stability of family unit. It's not really out there a lot nowadays. And so it's important to me. I feel very responsible.
Nice, man. I really appreciate your take on that. And I know a lot of the guys that are going to be listening to this are excited for your, you know, from what you were thinking too and saying. And I agree. I feel like Disney does a great job of representing all different families and all different walks of life. So you know, if you can't maybe relate to this parenting or this family on one show, but you see another show, you still enjoy the shows, but you see someone like, oh, I can relate to them because they're in a similar situation that I am. So I really applaud Disney for that. So that answer is fantastic, and it comes through your role as Devon. Thanks, man, for sharing that. One more question before we get into fire.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, man, no doubt. You're a musician as well. Where do you find inspiration for your music, sir?
It's all always been a life experience, and all my life experiences that have driven my inspiration for all of my music that I've put out, and a lot of music that hasn't been released has, you know, always been life experiences. I take from what I've been through. You know, some people online have, you know, read some bios or some interviews and different things, and they kind of know a little bit about me, but I had a really difficult life. I've been through, you know, I was homeless as a child, and, you know, through my whole drive of, you know, trying to get into the entertainment industry, it really took a lot for me to accomplish, you know, where I've gotten today. And so taking from those experiences, taking from those highs and lows, has really given me a really great, I should say, palette to choose from to paint my picture and my music. It's really been kind of like therapy as well. I mean, because I think music expresses itself truthfully when it's done the right way. And I think a lot of musicians come from a truthful place when they do their music. And I think that's why it's so relatable. Music is such a universal language. I truly believe that there's something for everybody. Like, what doesn't work for me is fine, because there's somebody out there that it does work for, that it does relate to, you know what I mean? Because they feel the same way. And so I think that there's a special quality in music that allows it to be kind of, in my opinion, non-judgmental. I don't think you can really judge music the way that we do today, you know, because we go off of popularity and what's, you know, kind of majority rules of society of like what's cool or not. But at the same time, there's a really huge industry of underground music, a lot of great musicians that have made a great living and continue to make a great living in the underground territory, because there are people who are searching for different types and genres of music. And those genres all stem from a collection of music that came from, you know, the inspiration of life experiences, what people have been through, because we all kind of go through the same things, even though we don't really go through the same identical experiences, still kind of go through those emotions of, you know, being depressed, being happy, being sad, being joyful, being excited, being hyped up and ready to party. And so there's so many different ways that you can create music, and that's what's so great about it. And that's why I think it speaks to so many different people. So for me, it's always worked for me to be truthful in what I'm doing and say, hey, is this something that I really do? Is this something that I'm kind of like an advocate for, that I really want to have a voice for? And, you know, I go in the studio and I create music with different producers, or I might, you know, have producers send me records that might inspire me. I'm always in the studio with my cousin and a couple of different people who are producers, and I'm always just being inspired by other different producers and artists and songwriters as well, because, you know, we all look at things differently. So to get someone else's point of view of a track, you know, someone else is going to write something different than I'm going to write. And so that's always inspiring, to kind of get different people's takes of how they're hearing the melodies or how they're hearing the harmonies in the song. So it's very therapeutic for me, man. I love it. I'll do music to the day I die just for fun. I don't have to be, you know, selling a million, 10 million copies, Taylor Swift status. I don't have to be, you know, I don't have to be that to feel good about my music, just because it really feels good to be able to express it and to hear it back and to get it into, you know, to hear other people say that, hey, man, I like that song. Like, it makes me feel, I've had fans throughout my life that has really came up to me and said, hey, man, I really like what you did with that song. And, you know, I really liked your performance on this record. Like, it really inspired me, or it really made me feel good, or, you know, I felt this way. And so, you know, once again, that's the universal language of music, I think, that just speaks through all of us. So I'm just happy to be able to use those talents that God has given me.
Nice, man. Not only do I appreciate your passion for playing Devon in Raven's Home, but I really appreciate your passion for music, and you can definitely tell as it comes through your music, man. And of course, the reason why I brought you on the show is to talk a little about fatherhood. So take me back when you found out you're going to be a dad for the first time. What was going through your mind?
Oh, man, that was a great experience, man, because it was something like, I talk to my wife about this all the time, but I really love experiences that you get for the first time as an adult, because when you're an adult, you know, you've kind of been through so many different things through your adolescence and through your young 20s. And, you know, I'm in my early 30s now. where you've kind of experienced so many things, you know, in a repetitious way, where you don't really have any new experiences for the first time, you know, that just pop up at you. And fatherhood is one of those things where, you know, you can go through life traveling and spending money and partying and having all these great experiences, but if you've never experienced fatherhood, or you've never, you know, heard those words that, you know, we're having a baby, then, you know, you never know how you're really gonna respond to that. And so it's great to be able to have those like first time experiences as an adult. And so that was one of the times where it was a great experience, because it was something that was new, fresh, and I was just like, wow, like, man, like, okay, wow, this is something that's like completely taking me off, you know what I mean? Even though it was planned, it still was like, wow, like, it's really gonna happen. It's really, you know, it's really going down, you know, and you never know until it actually happens. And so it was a great experience for me, man. And, you know, my whole life, you know, I've talked about having children. I've talked about having a family and being a father, just because, you know, growing up, I had father issues. And, you know, I have a single parent mother who raised me and my siblings. And, you know, it really drove me in a positive way versus a negative way, to kind of look at my life differently and say, hey, you know, instead of repeating that cycle, I'm going to actually do the total opposite and really be there for my children or for my child. And that was important to me. That's why I said earlier, you know, I feel a responsibility in real life, just because I feel like, you know, that's what we're here for. We're here to continue on creation. And if you're blessed to be a parent or to be a father or a mother, you know, you should take that responsibility very seriously, and you should really cherish it and enjoy it. It's a journey that doesn't last forever, you know, because your kids grow up and they go off and start their own lives and stuff like that. So it's a journey that's only for a certain amount of time. I talk to my mom all the time, and she tells me, you know, how the time has just passed her by, and she wished that, you know, she could see us kids as young kids. And, you know, now she loves her grandchildren, but at the same time, you realize how fast life goes by so fast, and you don't get a chance to really hold on to those moments. So I kind of just want to take my time with raising my children. Ever since I found out I was going to be a father, and now I have two children, I have a daughter. My daughter was my firstborn, you know, which is incredible to have, like, you know, your first child. You're like, oh, I'm about to be a father. And it's like, oh, my daddy's girl. So it's like, it was total opposite, you know, awesome. Yeah. And then, you know, the second time I was blessed to be able to have my son, which really gave me such joy, because not only was I, you know, I experiencing the whole pregnancy thing again, but not from a shocked point of view, but from more of a really mature understanding, like, okay, I got this. Like, I've kind of been through this before, so I know what to do. You know, I'm going to be better at it this time. You know what I mean? And the second, you know, to have it be for my son, you know, to be a father to a son, it really, you know, like I said before, because of my dad issues and different things in my own past, it really gave me such a sense of pride to say, man, you know, I'm really going to have a son now. And, you know, now I get to feel what that feels like, to be able to look at my son and teach my son how to be a man, and to be the man that I feel like he should really be, to continue on what I kind of broke with my father, you know, because he was, you know, absentee. He wasn't there. So, you know, at that point, it's like, okay, well, since I'm going to break it, now I want to pass on that tradition or that, you know, understanding of responsibility to my child and to my son, so he understands what I expect from him, you know, when he becomes a father, that, hey, man, you know, you got to take care of your children, be there. And so now I'm just kind of like enjoying fatherhood on a different level, just because, you know, my son is 2, my daughter is 6. So they're at like such a great age where we have, you know, great times together playing games and reading books and watching movies together and going to the parks. And they're like, you know, 2 best friends. And me and my wife just kind of sit back and look at them. And, you know, I really, no matter where I am in life, you know, how down I might feel at the day or, you know, anything like that, being there to see my children look at me with this look in their eye and knowing that I'm their father and calling me dad, you know, really, it lifts me up every day, and it gets me up out of my bed every day, because it allows me to realize and recognize how blessed I am.
No doubt, sir. Such a great answer, man. Two more questions before we go to the Fatherhood Quick Five. You kind of mentioned a little bit about some of the core values when we were talking about Raven's Home, but talk a little bit about the values you're looking to instill into your kids as they're growing up.
One thing is definitely respect, you know, honoring your elders and your mother, your father. Mm. Those are really big keys for me. Especially nowadays, I see so many children that are just being raised up without understanding the value of respect and, you know, how to have respect and, you know, how to have manners. And, you know, so I remember growing up, you know, being kind of like not only taught, but kind of like coached consistently, no matter where we were, to practice, you know, on your mannerisms and to practice on being respectful and to, you know, make that a part of your character and your habits. And so it became such a thing for me where once I got older and I realized the value of having respect and, you know, not only where that gets you and how people look at you, but how valuable it is in a society where it changes the energy around you, where you're being very respectful and having mannerisms, you know, to people, and they reciprocate that back to you. So therefore it creates that good energy that I think is lacking today. And so that's one of the things that I really, really tend to constantly instill in my children, you know, whether we're out at a restaurant or even when we're at home. You know, it's not like, hey, we're at home, you can act wild as you want. You know, not at all. You know what I mean? Like, even when we're at home, it's like, hey, mannerisms, you know what you're doing. Sit up at the table, eat your food. You know what I mean? Be respectful. You know, you ask for something, say please, say thank you. You know what I mean? It's like, you shouldn't expect that things are just going to come to you, or that you should expect that people should just do things for you, or, you know, be at your service. You know, you have to be grateful. And so, and I see how it affects my children. So that's how I know that it works. Not only did it affect me, but I see it in my children, where I see years of me consistently staying on them and, you know, and reminding them of those, of these things, see it pay off, where, you know, when we are somewhere else, or when my children are hanging out with other family, you know, they come back to me, they're like, man, your children are so well behaved and yeah, you know, they have so much mannerisms, and they're always saying thank you and this, and they don't want no sugary sodas, all they want is water. And, you know, it's just like, no, it's honestly just, you know, me trying to teach them what I feel like is important and healthy and valuable to them in life, that they're going to need to know, because, you know, being around so many different influences in the world nowadays, I mean, the world is so influential than what it was when I was growing up, you know, and I felt like I was still being influenced growing up. But now, you know, with social media and so much content everywhere and so much different ways that other children are being raised, and then, you know, they're being influential to your kid at school. And so it's like there is so many different things that you have to be aware of nowadays as a parent to kind of stay present in your child's life, to remind them of the good things that they need to have and that they need to carry with them through life, that I think are going to get them places, not necessarily for money or, you know, job ways, but just get them places and being respectful to other people. So therefore that respect will come back to you. It's like, you know, do unto others that you want done unto you,
yeah,
you know? And so I like to teach my children that, hey man, be respectful to others, you know, have mannerisms, and that will come back to you. You know, it should. And if it doesn't, it's okay. You know, sometimes it doesn't happen that way. It doesn't mean that you should change your attitude about, you know, the way that you've been taught and you've been raised right. You know what I mean? And so I kind of really stay, you know, consistent on those old school values. A lot of people call them old school values, and I love them, you know, because it's like the values I grew up with, and, you know, they've been good to me. I feel like they've taught me a lot in life. And, you know, I've had less mistakes than I think a lot of people have had my age, based on me being raised up with those type of values. I like to take that and kind of pass it on. And I think that those are the things that you really can really pass on, right? Like, a lot of people want to just focus on, like, having life insurance and having money to pass on to their children. But I've seen, you know, family and so many different other people, their family members pass away and they leave them money, and it's great and it helps them. But when that money goes away, they don't really remember things that they were taught by that person. And I think that those, to me, are the real keys and gems that I want my children to kind of remember me by. I just want them to remember that I taught them these things that really I felt like were important. And I feel like in the end, when they grow up and they mature, they'll see it how I see it, and they'll really realize that, hey, you know, Dad was really teaching us something valuable. He didn't just leave us money. He left us some really important, vital information.
Yeah. One last question before the Fatherhood Five. What is one big piece of advice you offer to new dads?
The main thing that I tell any new fathers is really stay present in your child's life.
Yeah.
You know, time is something that can never be priced, or it can never be looked at as something that can be substituted for anything else, any type of toys or money or anything like that. Time is everything, and that's the thing that the kids remember the most, is the time that you spend with them. I know that's what I remember, is how much my dad wasn't there, so therefore I know how much he was there.
Yeah.
You know, and so I never want my children to feel like I was never there for them, or that I never spent enough time with them, just because I know how, being an adult now, me and my father, we're at a good point in our lives now, because we're adults and, you know, we've made amends with that. But at the same time, we're not as close as I would want my children and me to be when they grow up. I want them to be able to come see me or be around me and talk to me about anything and everything that they want to. And I can't do that with my real father. You know, I can't do that with him. Because of our past and because of him not representing that father identity the right way of being present and being a protector, just letting me figure it out by myself. New fathers, man, just be present. They'll remember those things of that time that you spent with them, the time that you sat down and you pulled out the crayons and colored with them for an hour and did all types of pictures and hung them up on the fridge. Like, people don't think about those things. They think of those things as like, oh, it's corny, or it's just something that just, you know, is whatever. But it's the time. The kids, yeah, remember that time that you spent doing that. And so that's what's important, man. That is the key. So, you know, as long as you're present in your children's lives, man, nothing else is going to matter. Time is what we're here to use to spend with each other and create experiences and, you know, to love one another.
100% agree. And the old adage, your presence is the best present for your kid. Now I got the Fatherhood Five. Favorite family movie? Do you guys have one?
Favorite family movie for us would probably be Lion King.
Nice. Very cool. Favorite family song, or is there a band or just a song that you were really excited to introduce your kids to?
The Bible song is my children's favorite song. They love the song, the B-I-B-L-E.
Yeah.
That's a book for me. They sing that one and This Little Light of Mine. Those two songs are my children's favorite songs of all time.
Nice, man.
They love those songs.
That's great. Describe the perfect family vacation. Where would it be, sir?
Perfect vacation, man, would have to be I know it's crazy because of natural disasters that just happened, but probably either the Bahamas or, man, Fiji Islands or something. Something incredible. Me and my family, we love to take vacations all the time. Me and my wife, we love tropical places. We've been to so many different places and cruises and traveled, and we just love places that have beaches and sand. And, you know, my kids, they love the water. So anywhere there's water, I think we're good.
Nice, man. Is there anybody in for a TV project or a next music project that you would love to work on with?
Man, you know, that's a really good question. I really love what a lot of these young actors are doing nowadays. There's some really good actors. Some of the kids from the Netflix Now They See Us, or They See Us Now, the Central Park Five story.
Yeah.
You know, that those young actors, man, I feel like they're doing some great work.
Lastly, what are the top three words you hope your kids would use to describe you as a father?
I would say for me, I would love for my children to say that I'm strong, I am intelligent, and I am, you know, God-fearing would really be my three, just because those are the things that I really want my children to kind of learn and to kind of really take from me as a character. Their mom, you know, gives them a whole different side of characters that I think are, that they're going to be able to take and really progress in life. And those are things I want them to kind of see in me and kind of, you know, see as my representation that they can take from as well. Just being strong, you know, being smart, and, you know, having belief and being God-fearing.
Nice, man. Really cool. I really appreciate the time with you. People, make sure you follow Jonathan on Twitter at Lil J's Back. And then also watch Raven's Home on the Disney Channel and the Disney Now app. And of course, put up links on where you can check out the shows. Really excited to see these upcoming episodes with my family. Continued success in the future, sir.
Yeah, no problem, man. Thank you guys for having me. I really appreciate it. I look forward to coming back on, man, anytime. Thank you.
Yeah, man. We'd love to have you back on. Thank you again.
Cool. All right, my man.
Thanks for listening to the Art of Fatherhood podcast. Leave a review wherever you listen to podcasts and go to theartoffatherhood.net.